So, you know, obviously, we spoke over the last days about the basis of the Psak of Yachloku, and to the extent that it's based on Tfisa, which is, you know, what most Yishonim hold, how Tfisa generates the Psak of Yachloku. Today, we want to speak a little bit about the possibility that more than one track of Yachloku, or even Yachloku based on Tfisa, you know, can exist. And the first, you know, who we're going to talk about, and it's very clear when you read his words, you know, that he's what he's saying, is the Me'iri. The Me'iri talks about the different levels of Tfisa. He talks about Tfisa where they're Muchzakin Lagamre, and Tfisa where they're Ke'en Muchzakin, you know, where they're holding on to the Titio. And what he says is, the nafkamina between those two types of Tfisa is whether you need a Shvua in order for the Tfisa to take place. And he says, "Harbei dinin chalukin yesh b'inyanei mamon amutu l'safek." That's obvious, you know. After even after the first few days of our learning it, u'mashirah l'chlo b'din zehu shekol ma shehu muchzik biyad echad, o shehu muchzik shehu shelo. Okay, one person's holding it, or we have a cheskes marakama. Afa pishenu b'rishusak kigon par ba'agam al aderach amar b'perak hashoel hamotzi mechavero olav haraya. If we have, you know, we know some previous knowledge, hamotzi mechaver. The im shneim muchzakim legamre, if both of them are holding it in a way that they're muchzak on their part completely, kigon talish zetafas chetzi mikan v'zetafas chetzi mikan, cholkim elo shvua. This is really a revamping of the havamina that we saw, as explained by the Rashba and the Ritzbash. Right? They were saying even by a regular case of shneim muchzakim, we should conceivably say that you don't need a shvua. So that's rejected, right? Because on some level, we could see them both as being toe-faced the whole thing. But in a case where each of them is toe-faced half clearly, then be'emet cholkim b'lo shvua. V'chein hadin, b'shayu reshur shneim, kach da'ati nota. V'chein yeri ma'a shekatavnu b'mishnah. Aval, kol sheshneim ke'ein muchzakin, kegon shetafe zeh b'tzitzios mikan, v'zeh b'tzitzios mikan, cholkin b'shvua. Where they're ke'en muchzakin, then there's a cholkin b'shvua. That's the case of the mission of cholkin b'shvua. So this is a very understandable chiluk in light of the different possibilities we raised about tefisa in general, right? Is it chetzi chetzi already, like the Rabbi Hananel says? Or is it just we assume each one has a chiluk, you know, the lighter version? It's taking those two understandings and applying them to two different circumstances. Okay. That's, you know, the first chiluk. The second chiluk is a much broader one between the case where there is tfisa and there isn't tfisa. And this really is, you know, a question that's mitbakeshet, that's, you know, needs to be asked according to the Riva and the Rashba. As we saw, the Riva and the Rashba explained that we don't need tfisa to say achloku. So obviously the question is, so why does the Mishnah mention tfisa? So, you know, the simplest, best, you know, most conceptual, clear answer is to say that you don't need tfisa for yachloku, but tfisa impacts yachloku and makes it a different type of yachloku. Or in other words, there is yachloku without tfisa. And according to the Riva and the Rashba, not just in Baba Basra, but even in Baba Metzia. And an excellent example of that is the Shita of Sumchus, as Tosas in Baba Metzia, you know, explains. Let's take a look for a second. You know, back at Tosfos, Beis Amid Beis. This is even Tosfos, right? Not just the Riva. Tosfos, Beis Amid Beis. Yivri Amaskel V'Yachloku, you know, the one we've been dealing with. At the end of Tosfos, he says, Ula Sumchus, Af Agav De'ein Muchzakin Bo, Ve'ein Hachaluka Yechol Elios Emes, Echadika Jorah Demon, Apir Shavlota, and Ezav of the Best V'Yachloku. Meaning, even where there isn't Tfisa, we can still say Yachloku, and we have that in Baba Metzia as well. That having been said, when there is Tfisa as a basis of the Yachloku, then it's different. Then it's stronger. What does stronger mean? So an excellent example of this are the words of the Riva himself, as quoted by Tosfos in Baba Basra. Right? If we go back there, we see. The Ode Pirush Riva, by me it's on page 4, the first source and number 2. The Ode Pirush Riva, Tehecha de Ochzin, Afilu ikaramai, yachloku. Where there's achiza, even where there is a Rama Yachloku. Again, this is the same Riva who said earlier that we have Yachloku, even without Achiza. When we have a Ramai, lo Yachloku. But where there isn't a Ramai, we have Yachloku. Adds the Riva. Where there is Achiza, you have Yachloku even where there is a Ramai. So you see here that there's two levels, two tracks, two levels of Yachloku based on the backdrop of what's generating the Yachloku. The Meiri is machalik, you know, sharper than the Riva within, Tfisa. The Riva is machalik between a regular case and where there is Tfisa. The Hashlama is also one of the Chachmei Provence, like the Meiri. He says something similar, you know, as far as a chiluk. We take a look. I sent it out yesterday. Miu ki mianta be shapir v'tama de milsa. Mistavra de lo amrina yehe munach ad shiyavo eliyahu. Ela v'davar she'enu biyad echot mehem. Ava v'davar she'muchzakin shneyem lo mafkinen minayu eliyachlo. Umay de amrina n'hacha de ikal amemer de tarvayuhu. Therefore, palgi b'shvua, hachi kamer. Afilu lo yeh atalas biyad echot mehem el biyad echot me'alma. Shneyem mitachmin bo. Says the Hashlama in a similar way to the Riva. Riva is talking about Ika Vada Ramoy. The Hashlama is talking about whether it's possible that it's true, right? Ika Lameme de Tavayuhu or not. So it's a little bit different, but similar, you know, similar in that. They're talking about a similar type of distinction. And the point he makes is when the Gemara says that we need the possibility of it being truthful, Ika Lameme de Tavayuhu, that's only when there isn't Achiza by the Tzadim. Right, it's by Manashlishi where it's in the hands of a third person that we see as being in the hands of a third person and not in their hands, assumes the Hashlama. But in a case where it's really in both of their hands, a case like our Mishnah, then we would say it even where it can't be truthful. This is a very similar chiluk to the one that we saw in the Riva as quoted by Tosfos in Baba Basra. And so if we come back to our original question, you know, there are really, you know, two ways of understanding the relationship between our Mishnah and the Pashtus of our Gemara, which speak about Yachloku being based on Tfisa. And the Gemara in Daf Gimel and the Gemara in Baba Basra, which speak about other factors. Tosfos in Baba Metzia says, in essence, you need both factors. You need Tfisa and the possibility that it's truthful to say Yachloku. But the Riva and the Hashlama, they say you can have either of the factors. Again, the factors for the Riva and the Hashlama are a bit different, but similar type of distinction between Tfisa and the question of Ramos or the ability for it to be truthful. And that's basically the points that I wanted to add regarding the possibility of multiple tracks. I'll just add one more addendum, which is a little complicated. And those who get it, wonderful. Those who don't get it should ignore it. The shiur is being recorded and Davi will, you know, put it up so people can listen to it again if they'd like. And it'll require a lot of processing and thinking. And so those who want to look into this further, Mavakasha, and those who don't, Mavakasha. Tosfos, you know, the kasha that he asks, on the Riva, is that number one, Vaday Ramay is brought up according to Rav Yossi and not the Rabbanon. You know, we spoke about this with Jonathan Kaslow based on the end of the Sugya Nev Gimel. The second kasha that Tosfos brings up is, how could the Gemara ask a kasha from the case of She'er of Manashlishi on our Mishnah if the basis is different? If the basis of the Psak is different? Those are the kashas of Tosfos. Maybe one can say in defense of the Riva that the Rabbanon have a different understanding of Vaday Ramoy. As, we saw in the Ramban in the name of the Yesh Omrin, let's go back. I demar lav demar. It's not a question of whether there's a trickster. It's a question of whether it could be truthful or not. And maybe the Riva understood, according to the Rabbanon, that the intention of Vaday Ramoy is that the division of it needs to be truthful according to their Tanos. The division needs to be truthful according to their Tanos. And if so, one can say that the yesod of the din, when they're ochazin, is similar to the case where they're not ochaz. It's just that it's shayach, even by Vaday Ramoy, because when they're ochzin, when they're muchzakin, it can be truth based on the mitzias as opposed to their tanis. Because here we have a mitzias of achiza. In a regular case where we don't have a mitzias of achiza, all we have is their tanis. Here where we have the achiza, we can look at that achiza as the basis of it being truthful. This is just an addendum for those who want to think about the sugya a little bit more regarding Tosfos and the Riva. Okay. It being Friday, Kal Vachomer, we should share something on Parshat Shavua. We do it on Thursday, all the more so on Friday. And I'd like to share something with you that I think is one of the cornerstones of the Parsha, something very important for us to be reflecting on. Everybody is familiar with the one of the first Rashis on the Parsha regarding Noach. Ela told us Noach ish tzadik haya bedorotav. Et Elokim et alech Noach. It's such an interesting word. You know, sometimes we learn Rashi without fully appreciating what he's talking about in the Pasuk, and oh, that seems like a nice word. The Pasuk is singular. Where else in the Torah does it say that someone was something within their door? But the Rashi's discussion is something called for, mitbakesh. What do you mean, ish tzadik haya bedorotav? What does that mean? What does that mean, bedorotav? And what does it mean that it's plural? So, of course, we know Rashi's words, yesh dorshim l'shevach, yesh dorshim l'gnai. And it is weird that Rashi brings the two possibilities as like one pshat, not like davar acher. Since when does Rashi say yesh omrim, yesh omrim? Is he the Shulchan Aruch? Why does Rashi bring both possibilities? And we all know what Rashi says, yesh dorshim l'shevach. You know, he was great in his generation, Kal Vachomer, how much greater he would have been in other generations. Yesh dorshim l'gnai. He was great for his generation, but not, you know, he wouldn't have been great in other places. And of course, both of these directions are important, right? Both of these directions are important, and, you know, and what to learn from. Sometimes people are only great for their generation. You know, you only look at the people around you and you try and be better than them. That's not what we should be. We should be much greater, right? Sometimes people, you know, the Shevach are the greatest they can be, and they would be even greater in another atmosphere. And the truth is, I don't think it's a stira to say that both Pshatim about Noach were right. Both Pshatim about Noach were right. On the one hand, he would have been in another generation, he would have been much greater. On the other hand, you know, he was really just based upon his generation. And many speak about how Noach may have had some of the even weaknesses of his generation. His generation was selfish people, which led to, you know, murder and rape and selfishness. Noach didn't murder and rape, but maybe, you know, Chazal talk about this. Maybe he also didn't care enough about other people. He was a tzaddik for himself. The Chassidim say he was a tzaddik in pelt. You know, he was a tzaddik wrapped up in his own fur, right? The Zohar says this week's Haftorah talks about, refers to the Mabel as May Noach. Why is the Mabel named after Noach? So the Zohar says, because, you know, he should have saved his generation, should have davened for them. Moshe said, Mecheni na misifricha, same letters as May Noach. Noach didn't say that. Noach maybe should have been Mashpia more. He was like his generation. So it's really not necessarily a machlokas. Both deos could have been right. The question is just what the meaning of the pasuk is, and maybe the plural of the pasuk comes to mean both, and maybe that's why Rashi feels the need to mention both. But I think one can go even further. One can go even further, maybe on a deeper, like a midrashic level, but something that's true. Yesh dorshim l'shevach, yesh dorshim l'gnai. The word drasha means to seek. We're often seeking a deeper meaning in the pasuk, and we should be seeking for ourselves. Always seeking. And there may be times, different kinds of people and different kinds of times in our lives where we need to look at things differently. Sometimes we need to be darshan ourselves, l'shevach. We're hard on ourselves. We should realize we're doing our best under whatever circumstances we're in. We should be darsh ourselves, l'shevach. It's important. Sometimes we need to be darsh ourselves, l'gnai. There are times where maybe all we're doing is, you know, just what's around us and not as great as we can be. Both are true. You know, Rabbi Yonah asked Akasha in the Mishnah Navos, which says that a person, should always see himself as righteous. We have the Gemara, which says that the Olam Ye'odim Rasha Be'enav, a person should always see himself as a Rasha. So there are many explanations about how to reconcile this stira. The Alexander Rebbe said that there are times where you need to do one and times where you need to do the other. And, one of the problems we have is that in general, we're not reflective enough about ourselves, about our lives, about who we need to be. We just roll. And in general, we need to be reflective. We need to be doresh more. Chassidus talks about having time alone to think, each day making time to think. Do we make time to think? To think about, again, too often our life is about thinking about other people. What's wrong with this one? What that one should be doing? Or what does this one think of me? What does that one think of me? Do we think enough about who we are, where we are, and where we need to be? And I think, that's the flip side of so much of what we need to be doing in these, challenging circumstances. On the one hand, we need to think carefully about, how we are part of a bigger framework. I don't just mean a capsule or a yeshiva or the old city or Yerushalayim or even Eretz Yisrael, even the Jewish people. I mean the whole world, what the whole world is going through. Kal v'chomer is we bring it down. And that's one of the things I spoke about yesterday. And I hope, I hope people continue to internalize. We have to think about how we can act in a way that protects other people. We have to think about what it means to build a framework that's going to sustain hundreds of people. The challenge is that when we look in the mirror and think only about ourselves, things can look different than when we have to think about a bigger picture and a bigger framework. So we have to think about the bigger picture and impacting the world and beyond ourselves. On the other hand, we have to make sure that we think about ourselves and where we are, who we are, where we need to be, what we need to become. And maybe we don't think about it enough. The Yesh Dorshim L'Shevach and the Yesh Dorshim L'Gnai are important things for each of us to be Dorish regarding ourselves, each one, in the times of our lives when each are appropriate. And let's make sure that we take advantage of the great Zchut of being able to be in Yeshiva with hundreds of other people on one level and with tens of other people interacting interpersonally on a more focused level. Let's make sure that we take advantage of it fully by thinking about how we can grow as people. I must say that yesterday when I was in Yeshiva, I noticed two things. I noticed three things. I noticed three things that I want to share with everyone. First of all, I noticed that guys had connected with each other in a more meaningful way than before. I think guys had been connected before too. But when people are dealing with something together with a unified challenge and need to help each other, there was a number of days, maybe a week, where all the people who were negative had to take care of all the people who were positive who couldn't leave their rooms. I'm just reminded now as I'm speaking that the famous word of Chazal, one of the goals of the Teva, God couldn't have saved the world some other way. One of the goals of the Teva was to teach human beings to care for each other, to care for animals, to teach people the Midah of Chesed, 12 months training of Chesed. Baruch Hashem, we didn't have 12 months. And it wasn't up to people to decide. There were people who were definitely dependent and people who knew they had a responsibility. People who were negative were getting out of their rooms, for X amount of time to enjoy for themselves, but also with the responsibility of taking care of other people who were totally dependent on them, like in the Teva, totally dependent. And on the other hand, after the positives got out, they became the people who needed to take care of other people. And I assume that dependency and that understanding that you're taking care of other people helps, reinforce this sense of caring about other people, which is something we all need to work on as a midah. The average Ben Azmanim, I don't need to take care of people as much as I had to this time. And I think that strengthens my relationship with each of you and your relationship with each other. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I sincerely hope that Ruach HaChesed will be something that all of you will continue internalizing over the next weeks and months, that people will care enough about each other to limit themselves in ways they may not have done so before, in order to protect each other, in order to ensure that each other can continue learning and have a meaningful zman. Not just so that I should continue to be able to have a meaningful zman, but that my friends should too. And it's easy to spend time, you know, let's continue complaining about this, complaining about that, being angry about this, being angry about that, being frustrated about this. I'm going to go around this. I'm going to go around that. And it could do damage to my friends. People have questions. You know, Bavakasha, Eitan Edinger reached out to me to arrange a phone conversation with the director of the yeshiva, Besimcha Rabba. The director's happy to do it. Talk any questions people have, you know, clarifications people want to make. But the question ultimately is, you know, whether we're going to care enough about each other. If people want to formulate it otherwise, you can formulate whatever you want. That's just what it is. And I'm happy to see that, you know, these bonds between everyone have strengthened, and that's very valuable. The second thing that I saw and that I felt was just, I think guys have matured a lot. I hope. Maybe not everyone. I hope. You deal with significant, serious circumstances. I know that from my own perspective, you know, Corona became more of a reality, and the implications of Corona became more of a reality. And the question is whether we're mature enough, and I hope I am, to treat things more seriously. You know, when you get that whack, min hashamayim, do you just, you know, blink your eye and move on? Or do you say, I got a whack, and we all got a whack? If you're positive, you got a whack. If you're negative, maybe you got a whack. Like the Rambam says in Hilchos Tanios, when bad things happen to us, we have to stop. He mentions there the Tzibor and the Yachid. Anyone who thinks what happened in the last few weeks wasn't bad, okay, well, fine. I can speak for myself, very bad. Something bad happens to a Rabbim or a Yachid, person has to reflect, what am I doing wrong? And obviously the first reflection is about, you know, the things that happened. Rambam says, person has to reflect and how to do tshuva, how to fix things. He says, a person doesn't do that, they just say, okay, these things happen. Chas v'shalom, he says, Kodesh Baruch Hu makes it worse. We're at a crossroads for ourselves. I saw one of the Rosh Yeshiva wrote in the newspaper this Shabbos, said, we have a responsibility to do our part, and hopefully Hashem will help. But if we don't do our part, there's no way we can look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help. What's our part? I suggest each guy decide for himself what his part is. I'm joking, right? Our part is to understand we have to be mizbatel, and there have to be people who give us guidelines, and no one's evil and wants to cause anyone pain. And our job is to, you know, be mizbatel a little bit, to realize we know less than we think. I have realized that I know less than I think. Okay. So I just felt people, it was a growing experience for a lot of people, a humbling experience for a lot of people. And I think people today appreciate more what they may not have appreciated before, and hopefully we can all count our brachos better than we may have counted our brachos before. And the third thing, and I want to share with everyone, be open. I was very fearful in yeshiva yesterday because everyone's running around and this one and that one and up and down and right and left. And obviously, you know, the zman hasn't started and things are a little bit cuckoo and everyone's all over the place. And this group is coming back and going out and et cetera. We had to get ourselves put together. We had to get ourselves in order. No, and just be ready both within our own minds and how we're functioning to be able to function well, responsibly. I know every time we come back to Azman, there's a little bit of this sand still in everyone's hair. I use the term sand because, you know, I remember there was a group of Australians who once came to visit the yeshiva the first day that they landed in Israel. They were very raw. They also had sand in their hair from the beach they had been in the day before. So for me, that was like a metaphor for how raw they were. Guys come back from Ben Azman and everyone's a little raw. They still have sand in their hair. And obviously this year, all the more so. So it's always a challenge to get back into the Zman. You know, and so that's why crazy Reuven Tarragon said we should start the Zman right after Simchas Torah. He's a lunatic. He's a lunatic. What does he doesn't understand? Okay, fine. So everyone taught me a lesson. Fine. But okay, you know, we have to get back to this man. It requires getting back into a regimen and getting back into a routine. And that regimen and routine is also critical for us being able to, you know, get through Corona properly. my sincere hope and tefillah is that this man should start right after the teal and not before, and that it should go straight. Should go straight through whenever it's supposed to end, Shvodish Nisan, whatever it is. And that we should be able to go on a Poland trip in Nisan, maybe Shana Bet on some kind of Chassidus trip, which we had hoped to do, you know, this year after Sukkot, but obviously, you know, we were far from it. We should have in Inazmanim, and everyone should be able to go, those who want to go to America or England, Canada, wherever it is, to their parents. Should be able to go and return without the need for any shur, without the fear of what's going to be. And hopefully all the mechitzos should be able to come down. Maybe that's a tefillah that's, you know, but we believe it. Ayad Hashem tiktzar, Ayad Hashem tiktzar. If Hashem decided the virus needed to stop tomorrow, would it not be possible? But at least I don't want to be a chazer. I don't want to be a chazer. At least that we should be able to continue with exactly the restrictions we have today and not more. That we should all be makabal and we should all be excited and happy. We should focus on making this man what it can be and should be for ourselves. And doing our ishtadlis that we should, you know, bedina nefashas, do everything we should do by the book properly. And that we should be zocha, therefore, to have this man fully. I miss all of you less than I did yesterday. Because I was zocha to be able to see those who I was able to see last night. I still miss everyone. And I look forward to being able to be with everyone, you know, each day, each week, moving forward. And I ask that everyone help me do that. Shukach to everyone. Everyone should have a Shabbat. Scrolling through now. My microphone is unmuted. Okay. I see. Who do I see? I see Benjamin Klein. Benjamin, it's great to see you. I see Aiden Englander, beard man. Great to see you. I see Davi Hazan. Oh, Davi Yishkoch and Shana Bet Cholent. I see Ephraim Jacobson. Wonderful. Saw him last night. I see Shlomo Schwartz, Eitan Levy, Yisrael Wiener, Shekoyach. I see Yoni Drazen and Joy Baron and Jordan Lavovitz. I can't see because his camera's not on. Jordan, turn on your camera so we can get to see you. Maybe you're unable, you're on your phone or whatever. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced me to be able to be on my phone because I was on my computer and I didn't understand how hard. Maybe that's what happened. Okay, now I understand. It's hard to do this on your phone. I have to hold my phone in one hand, my Gemara in the other hand. Okay, it's great to see everyone. And everyone should have a wonderful Shabbat. And we should, again, keep moving forward. Please, God, keep moving forward.
Good Shabbos, Rabbi.
Good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Rabbi.
Good Shabbos.
Guys, quick question. Guess not. Want to ask?